You're listening to the Portland Diamond Project podcast.
Shut up! You're killing me, Smalls.
Working to bring Major League Baseball and a new ballpark to Portland.
How can you not be romantic about baseball?
People will come, Ray. People will most definitely come.
Welcome into another edition of the Portland Diamond Project podcast. I'm Mike Barrett, Managing Director of PDP, and we've got a special PDP Day podcast lined up for you. While celebrating the two-year anniversary of the Portland Diamond Project, we invited John Canzano and his radio show down to our clubhouse for a live event. A variety of guests stopped by the show, and this podcast features Oregon State great and former major leaguer Darwin Barney. Let's get to it.
It's been a really fun radio show. Sometimes, I gotta be honest with you, like, you know, it's like your job. Sometimes I get about midway through the show and I'm like, you know what, this show sucks. It's got no energy. I'm the problem. Today's show is hummed along. We had a lot of good energy in the building. We're broadcasting today as part of the celebration of the Portland Diamond Project. Bring baseball to Portland. We are at the PDP headquarters called the Clubhouse. I think they're calling it the Clubhouse. I would prefer him to call it the dugout. I've been in some major league clubhouses. My memories of being in a major league clubhouse is as a media member where a bunch of guys in towels being interviewed. I don't see that here. Darwin Barney is here, though. Am I not right? Like, clubhouse? This is more like a dugout.
You know, clubhouses have changed a lot.
Have they?
Yeah, there's so many female media members now.
No
that
more towels. There's,
the towel thing doesn't happen anymore. No.
Thank goodness. And I can go back now.
You can go back.
It's a weird thing to interview a guy who's got nothing but a towel on.
Yeah, you know? I guess so. What, yeah.
Was that like for you to be interviewed if you were ever in that situation, like you're trying to change and people are talking to you?
Yeah, yeah. And I, you know what? I think the athletes are a little different too.
Yeah.
You know, I think they demand space now. So I feel like, you know, when they're in their towel, there's someone there helping them to keep people away.
Yeah, it didn't used to be that way.
No, it was a wide open free-for-all back in the day with cigarette smoke and everything everywhere. So
I ran into former Blazer Ruben Boumshe, who had the locker next to Rashid when Rashid was here. And the conversation I had with him was about, remember when we all used to stand in your locker waiting to talk to Rashid in the day? What was the Cubs clubhouse like?
You know, it was the smallest, worst, oldest one around. For a home clubhouse, I would say 80 to 90% of the visiting clubhouses were better than the home clubhouse when I was there. Obviously, the renovation that went down changed everything. But, yeah, when I was there, it was 2 to 3 times bigger than Oregon State's clubhouse.
That's phenomenal. How about Oregon State? Even they're playing well.
They are. They are. I think, you know. A lot of people were a little bit worried about what the season was going to look like this year, but they're right back to their normal ways of winning with defense and getting enough offense, where I think we were a little spoiled last year with one of the best offenses that Oregon State has had in a long time.
I'm watching Adley Rutschman, and I'm going, you know, we might be watching the number one pick in the draft. Hit another home run yesterday. What do you see in him?
You know, leadership. But he also has that Buster Posey feel where it's there's not too much rah-rah. There's no too high, too low. The guy's just playing the game. He's having fun. Guys are following what he's doing. And, you know, he's putting up Barry Bonds numbers right now. He's getting
crazy.
He's getting intentionally walked at the college level a lot. And when he's not, he's doing damage.
What advice, because you've been through this, right? You played at a high level. You win at a high level in college. Then it becomes professional baseball. What do you wish you knew back then that would have served you well entering professional baseball that you know now? Is that a dumb question?
You know, I don't. It's hard to say because when I was at Oregon State, we do a really good job of preparing players at Oregon State for professional baseball just because we're stuck inside so much. We're doing little things. We're working on those little things that separate you. You know, I would say what I would tell other people is that first day you walk onto a minor league field, there's 200 people out there on 4 fields.
Yep.
You really find out what you think about yourself. You know, you look around and you right away you're like, I'm screwed, or these guys got nothing. Right? It's one of the two. So, you know, I think, you know, guys like Adley are going to be fine. They're going to go out there and they've seen it before. You know, you have to separate yourself from the pack.
You said I'm going to be fine, didn't you? When you looked around.
I did until I saw a couple of the guys taking batting practice. So there was a couple of shortstops that were ahead of me by about a year or two. And they're just hitting tanks, just homers with wood bats over, you know. And, you know, I was a line drive guy. I didn't develop any power till a little bit later in my career. Then we played a game, and I saw these guys throw.
Yeah.
And I was like, ah, I'm good. Yeah. You know, like, you have to be a well-rounded player to play at the major league level. And I mean, these guys put up batting practice numbers like it was nothing. But then, you know, come game time, they throw a ball away. They take that to the plate, and it's just a domino. So you got to be well-rounded.
Darwin Barney with us. He's now working with the Portland Diamond Project, trying to bring Major League Baseball to Portland. Former major leaguer with the Cubs, the Dodgers, Blue Jays, and also a national champion at Oregon State. You get a lot of information in baseball. You get a lot of people telling you, I don't care what level you're at. People are telling you what you can't do all the time. You need to do this. You need to try this. How, as a pro, do you filter out what's good feedback for me and what is, that's not going to be constructive. I'll just nod, but I know what I need to do feedback.
Yeah, man, it just depends on who you are.
Yeah.
You know, for me, there was times in my career I was too coachable. You know, coming off of one of my best seasons, I had people trying to tell me that I needed to hit for more power, try to hit the ball in the air more, pull more. You know, and at that time I was like, yeah. You know, they looked at my numbers and they said, I was the top maybe one or two, three, third hardest to fan in the league for 2 years in a row.
Yeah.
So they said, you can take more chances. You don't strike out. But what you look at it from the other side, I felt like I didn't swing and miss enough to do that. So when I did put my B swing on a pitch, I put it in play. Where those guys that walk a lot, they're fouling that pitch off and they're getting to the next pitch. So it actually ended up hurting me. You know, it's baseball is one of those games where if you're not relaxed and playing it as natural as possible, you know, you're going to struggle more than not. And so, like, even with my kids, I tell them, throw it how you would throw the doll at your sister when you're mad at her. You know, don't sit there and think. You know, baseball is such a natural, instinctual sport. You put a glove on a kid, all of a sudden they can't catch a ground ball. You take the glove off, you roll it to them, and they catch it no problem. So there's too much thinking going on at the lower levels, and then as you get higher up, obviously you have to polish, but letting yourself play is big.
I grew up in a baseball family. My dad was in AAA in the Mets organization in the late 60s and played shortstop. I had him look at you when you were at Oregon State, and I said, it's just kicking and make it, and he's like, he's gonna be fine. Same thing, he's going to be fine. He told me about times where coaches would talk to him. He loved to charge the ball, and he loved to throw a guy out like halfway up the baseline. Yeah, he liked doing that. Then he had a coach tell him, hey, that makes you look bad. It makes you look like your arm's not very strong. Lay back a little bit. You get the guy out by a step or halfway, it doesn't matter. So he did that, and then they said, oh, his arm strength's not great. I mean, do you relate to that? Like, with people, you can't win for trying kind of thing?
100%. You know, I think there's the eye test in baseball, which is big. And, you know, for me, I always wanted to make it look easy.
Yeah.
If it looked easy, it felt easy, and I could take a deep breath and just play.
Yeah.
But I also had times where before I was even in college, I had a scout say, hey, look at this guy's arm. That's a big league arm right there.
Yeah.
Basically saying, yours isn't.
Yeah.
Try to be more like that, right? And I give that guy a hard time to this day. And, you know, there was another time when I was in the minor leagues and Ryan Sandberg was my manager. And, you know, I was playing shortstop in AA and I was, you know, leading the league in defensive stats at shortstop. I made the infield rover, came into town, saw me throw some guys out, bang, bang at first. Pulls me aside, blows me up. If we send you up to the big leagues, Lou Piniella's going to send you back to high A, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
You know, like, your arm this, your arm that. And so then Sandberg's like, you know, I think you're fine. Maybe just pop one over there between innings to make him happy.
Right.
You know, like,
yeah.
And so then you get to the big leagues. None of that matters.
Yeah.
Everything at the big league level is about results. They don't care if you catch it backwards, forwards, sideways. They don't care if he's out by one step or 10 steps. If he's out, it's an out. And And that's why the game is so hard, because everyone is looking at it like, okay, if I say this guy's going to make it and he doesn't, yeah, I look bad. Then if I, you know, say he's not and he does, you know, the job is tough. Any job in baseball is tough.
Spring training comes around. Did you miss it?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I mean, it was, you know, I woke up really grumpy for about a week.
Yeah.
And I didn't even know why.
Yeah.
My wife's like, dude, what's going on? You know, it's, you're being, you know, stuff I can't talk about.
Right,
you know,
right.
We've known each other for a long time. We speak to each other and however we want. But, and, you know, I go, you know what, honey, I think spring training just started. You know, all my buddies have been texting me from camp, and I just realized, like, man, it is affecting me a little bit. You know, so it's interesting how your body is just so used to these things. You know, it's been hard.
When you, again, we're talking to Darwin Barney, part of our celebration of the Portland Diamond Project. You have kids, and you work with kids, and is that going to be enough of an outlet, like, to be that close, or being involved with the Diamond Project, does that help kind of quench that thirst a little bit, stay around it?
I would say coaching kids, absolutely not.
yeah.
Diamond Project, a little bit.
Uh-huh.
You know, I'm still at that point where I'll have conversations with my wife just the other day where, you know, maybe I should just get the arm surgery done and go play again next year.
Yeah.
You know, and so that's kind of where we're at. You
yeah.
know, it this right now is my number one priority. I'm not hitting in the cage. You know, I golf as much as I can. That's kind of what I do to keep my mind off the baseball stuff.
Yeah.
Because
you're 33?
33.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're young enough. I mean.
Well, I mean.
You don't need me to tell you that.
With my skill set, you know, I could definitely still be playing. You
yeah.
know, I mean, winning teams like guys like me. But on the other end of it, the last 2 years of playing, you know, getting needled before every game so that my arm, you
yeah.
know, felt okay. You know, with a bone spur and two floaters, I would have to get some surgery in there and then recover. So, you know, we're thinking about it. That's
a family decision. You say we're. I mean,
I think
that's good. I think that's a healthy place to be.
Yeah,
that's a grown-up outlook.
For sure. You know, my wife's, we've done this together for a long time. And with three kids, and she actually opened up a fitness studio level of vitality in Lake Oswego. So now she's working a lot. And
yeah.
I'm not.
Yeah.
So it's a little bit different. You know, so that would, you know, I want to give her some time to do her thing. And then if I want to go chase it down again, then I will.
When my wife, you know, when she's home, we've got three daughters. And when I am alone with the three of them, I leave that experience and I go, holy hell. Like, I had no idea. How do you do it? Do you have that experience now with the kids?
You know, sometimes.
Yeah.
Sometimes. I would say more often than not, I enjoy those times alone because I can do it my way. You know, like, there's always somebody judging. It's just like what Vince Vaughn said, always watching, always judging, look at the baby. I mean, it's like if you feed them the way they don't want you to, you're in trouble. But if she's not around, I can do the dishes when I want to do the freaking dishes. You know what I mean?
I had this discussion this morning. My wife wants, because we have a 4-year-old and a 2-year-old, my wife wants to get him these bikes that are balance bikes. And I go, it has
no pedals.
No pedals. Yeah. And I'm like, what is wrong with pedals on the bike and just
yeah.
letting them fall a little bit?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's like, yeah, yesterday we were throwing ground balls and everything was going great. You know, I had my 10-year-old, 7-year-old, yeah. and 4-year-old. She comes out and she's like, no, don't do that because I'm throwing a pop-up to the set. You know,
yeah.
it's like, honey, we were doing just fine before you were out
right.
here. And you come out here and you're making them scared.
Yeah.
You know, it's like. That's life. That's what love is.
I love it. I love it. The Diamond Project. Let's talk about that. Okay. Craig Cheeks across the room right now. You got Mike Barrett in the room. When they made the pitch to you, what about this appealed to you?
Just about everything. Being an Oregonian, baseball in Oregon. I mean, that's game, set, match okay. right there. Major League Baseball in Portland. You know, I've known both of those guys for a long time. I played sports growing up with Craig's son. You know, so when we first talked about it, we ran into each other at a grocery store, and he's like, hey, you know, and I was in a low spot. It was,
yeah.
you know, a few, 3-4 months out of baseball, and he starts spitting out Portland baseball, and maybe you could work for the team or do this or that, whatever you want. And I'm like, I leave that place the first time I was giddy in a long time,
yeah.
you know. So I was super excited about it. Even more excited about the leadership of this group. I mean, those guys are unbelievable. I don't bring anything to this group, you know, I feel like, because they have everything taken care of. You know, I feel like I'm going to be more important in the baseball phases when it gets closer to that. So, I'm along for the ride right now. I'm enjoying it. I'm just doing what I can.
I think, too, there's credibility, though, because I think Mike Barrett brings credibility, and Craig has his experience at Nike, and that's all fine. But when they get baseball people like Pat Casey and Darwin Barney involved, I think there's a faction of the crowd who sits up and goes, oh, all right, this is legit. And I think they needed that, given what had happened in the past with efforts that really weren't well constructed. So I think don't sell yourself short there.
Ah, well, thanks for that. I guess Yeah.
I'm not like the roving coach who's telling you what's wrong. I'm here to tell you what's right.
That's right.
Positive.
That's right. There's a lot of things right about this group, that's for sure.
All right. How about Pat Bailey at Oregon State? He going to be okay? Is Pat Casey end up back in a dugout someday? Darwin Barney.
Pat Casey.
He's going to coach again. He can't stay away. He needs his time. Going to spend time with his family is all great. That's great. But he won't he coach again?
What year is his son?
I don't know.
When his son is gone,
yeah,
look out.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, if he were to come back, he's definitely going to wait till his son's gone, kind of give him some freedom. You know, Pat needed a break. You know, he's the kind of guy who, Case would lose 20 pounds in a season, and there were times his wife used to kind of be like, gosh, get healthier, guy, stop worrying so much.
Yeah.
But the guy loves the game so much, he just gives his body to it, It's pretty crazy. So, he's at every game. He's there watching his son. He's just kind of loving it out there. I don't know. He's just such a good, classy person. It's hard to imagine him leaving and then stepping on people's toes coming back.
Yeah.
I think that would be one of the things that would keep him out of it. So, but hey, if I were ever a GM for the Portland team, I would be.
You hire Pat?
I'd be calling Pat Casey to do something, I don't think you throw, maybe not manage right away. Give him a bench job first and then get acclimated with professional baseball first.
Before I cut you loose, what makes a good manager in baseball?
A lot of things. I think the main thing is communication. The manager deals with media. They deal with players.
Yeah.
They make decisions, and communication is big, because when your assistant coach, your bench coach makes a decision, you're the one who has to wear it. And you can't point fingers. Your pitching staff, if you think about the only time with a manager that I would say doesn't have a good relationship with his players, the only time he talks to a reliever is when they take him out of the game.
Yeah.
They walk out there, they take the ball, you screwed it up, whatever it is.
Right.
A good manager has a lot more conversations with the relievers than that. So communication is key. Being a manager, for sure.
Yeah, because I think it's sometimes they're managing the guys who aren't playing more so than the guys who are on the field, aren't they?
Absolutely. Those guys that play every day, it's an easy job for a manager. They slot them in their slot in the lineup. They know they're out there every day. There was something I saw last year in the World Series. I think it was Nunez maybe hit a big home run off the bench, right? And he had said Cora let him know 2 days before that to be ready for this at-bat against this guy, because it's going to come.
Yeah.
So he's watching video. He's doing all his homework. And you can really zero in on the numbers on those guys, where some of these guys' tendencies are 75% in certain counts of a certain pitch. And when you know those numbers, the game definitely gets a little bit easier.
Yeah. Darwin Barney, thank you, man. I appreciate you. We haven't seen the last of you either.
Anytime.
Get the surgery.
We'll see.
You're going to need it. You're going to even playing catch with those kids as they grow up. Come on.
I can handle all that. Maybe I'll just get it fixed so I can drop my index in the golf course a little bit.
There you go. All right. Darwin Barney, thank you. I appreciate you. This is our celebration of the Portland Diamond Project today. If you want to see the renderings of the stadium, you can go on social media at John Canzano BFT or the Portland Diamond Project's social media. And check those out. They leaked out some new renderings today. All right, we got some Magic Johnson talk still ahead of us. Leave it here. Big celebration today at the clubhouse for the Portland Diamond Project. This radio show has gone a lot of places, but we've never been in a clubhouse before. We are right across the street from Providence Park, about a half an hour left in the show, and it's an important half hour because we are going to give away a Russell Wilson autographed baseball to somebody who's in the house here, and we are also giving away a treasure chest, Portland Diamond Project Charter Investor Treasure Chest. They were only given to the charter investors of the group. We'll be drawing for those two things in the next half hour. So if you are nearby, we're at 1919 Southwest Morrison at the headquarters of the Portland Diamond Project. And the people from Portland Gear, Marcus Harvey and the team from Portland Gear, are here selling their gear, special limited edition stuff that is coming at a discount. Also, there are giveaways, including posters and other things. So stop by. It was standing room only to start the show, and I was afraid the fire marshal was going to show up, but did not. We got out of that one okay. Also want to give a shout-out to Breakside Brewery.
That'll do it for this week's Portland Diamond Project podcast. Be sure to head to PortlandDiamondProject.com to sign the petition and show your support for MLB to PDX.